This is Record of Change, a podcast that documents how people's lives are being shaped by the coronavirus pandemic. I am Pratap Nair, your host for this episode. Today, we're talking to Alkaios Michail, an architect turned chef who runs a vegan restaurant in Athens. Alkaios, as he prefers to be called, had to shutter his new restaurant almost as soon as it was inaugurated because of the lockdown in Athens. His busy life suddenly screeched to a halt as he found himself locked down in his apartment and wondered what would happen to his new business. He says it was scary. Nevertheless, Alkaios kept himself occupied. He picked up his guitar, got on Instagram, overhauled his restaurant menu in the hope of reopening it soon, and started doing calisthenics, a kind of exercise routine. Let's listen to him.
My name is Alkaios Michail, and they call me Alkaios because it's easier. I'm from Greece, and I have studied architecture in London. And at the moment, I live in Greece, and I work in Greece. Right now, I'm in my apartment in Athens. Mm-hmm. It's like almost 20 minutes from the center of Athens. It's near the sea.
What do you see outside your window? I can see some trees and stuff.
Yeah, there is like a garden, because I live on the zero level. There is a garden around. And basically, yeah, that's it. A lot of flowers and trees.
Yeah. Can you tell me where you were when this pandemic and lockdown and everything was started? Where were you? And how was your life before that and how it has changed after that?
So my life used to be like very, very, very busy because I came from London to renovate my family business. We own a hotel in Athens, in the center of Athens. So I came back to renovate the hotel. And we renovated the hotel on the 2017, and we finished 2018. And it was very busy years. And then we had to make the restaurant inside the hotel. Okay. So the restaurant opened early 2020. And yeah, so as soon as we opened the restaurant, after like a month and a half, we had the lockdown. So I was very, very, very busy, like, you know, until the lockdown. And, you know, I was like almost like 20 hours a day in the hotel and the restaurant. I had like very few sleep. And yeah, it was very, very, very hard, to be honest. Like the first week of the lockdown, it was a nightmare. I was very anxious, very stressed. I didn't know what to expect. It was, oh my God. I don't even remember because, you know, we had like we put so much money in the business.
Yeah.
And we were waiting for the summer because, you know, the tourists arrive and everything. So, you know, to start, you know, getting some money back. And all of that happened. But yeah, it was tough. It was really tough.
Okay. And when was this? This was in February, March?
Yeah, we opened the restaurant on the end of January. And then the lockdown in Greece happened on basically... Before the lockdown, the government closed all the restaurants and most of the businesses in Greece on the 15th of March.
And what was your day-to-day work like at the restaurant? What were you taking care of at the restaurant? Can you give me a little more detail?
Because since I was little, I was cooking. And because, like, apart from architecture, my other passion is cooking and working out, basically. So I have done the menu for the restaurant, and I'm also cooking for the restaurant. We have like a chef and you know, a big team in the restaurant. But I'm like the chef, so I check everything. I go there every early to make all the sauces, cook some stuff, and everything. And then serving people, talk to people, do stuff, check that everything is right. So I'm there like from the beginning, like from around like 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 a.m. until almost 1 a.m. that we close.
And how many employees did you, how many people were working in your restaurant?
So in the restaurant at the moment, basically before the lockdown, we're almost 15 people. In the hotel were 15 people as well, yeah. So total we had like 38 people. employees.
So you completely shuttered the restaurant as soon as the lockdown was announced in mid March. Okay. So these people were let go, the people who were working?
Basically, yeah, we're all on hold. We didn't know. You know, they just announced that, you know, you have to close. Nothing will open like on Saturday, because Saturday was the 15th of March.
Okay.
So we all stayed at home. We saw that coming. I was very worried almost like 2 weeks before the shutdown. You know, I started to reduce all of the orders. I was very worried.
You made so, precautions.
Yes,
how was
of
the
course.
Mood like at that time?
Because we're in the center of Athens and we have the hotel as well, we mm-hmm. saw like a major decrease in reservations, and you know, not too many people were working outside, you know, the hotel. Mm-hmm. Because we are close to Syntagma Square, which is like the parliament of Athens. You know, if you don't see like many people, you know, around that area, it's very, you know, weird.
Yeah. Suddenly it's completely empty.
Okay. Yes, yeah, exactly. Right. So, I mean, the restaurant used to be like from day one full, like from the opening until closing. So, yeah, it was very good.
Okay.
And the last 2 weeks, it was like empty. The last week, we only had like 6-7 tables.
Okay. And how was the communication by the Greek government? Were they strong, and were they like, lockdown is going to happen? Were there prior warnings
that
for businesses?
I mean, it was really good, because they acted really fast. I think when they told us to close the our businesses, we only had like 40 cases or something like that. You know, very low in comparison with other countries. So yeah, I mean, it was okay. I mean, they were very fast. They shut us down, and then almost like the next day, they started doing all the television advertisements, radio advertisements about, you know, what's going on and everything.
Okay.
So we were feeling a bit safe.
You woke up one day suddenly, and then you decided, oh my God, so today we're going to shut the restaurant.
I mean, yeah, it was so weird, because it was Friday. We have done some orders for the weekend, because like suddenly Sunday used to be our most busy days.
Popular days. Okay.
Yeah. So we've ordered like, you know, tofu and everything. And by Friday night, we all got like an SMS text on our phones that from Saturday, everything will be shut. Mm-hmm. So we were like, okay, what's going on now? You know, this is serious stuff. So, I mean, it was like, it was very weird, because, you know, we were calling each other, you know, to see what's going on, if it was a spam. You know, as soon as we took the message, we thought it was a spam. So, after a while, we started realizing what's going on. And we couldn't do anything. I mean, I just went there to clean all the fridges, to take some stuff, to, you know.
Mm. All these perishables that you ordered, you're saying you ordered tofu, you must have also ordered vegetables and so on. How did you, what did you do with those goods?
Basically, most of the vegetables, I gave it to my staff, to my family, and I got a few as well. About other stuff that we had, because we had like many stuff, we threw them away, because we didn't know when to open. So, you know, I mean, it was like March, and then we opened almost in June.
Wow.
So most of the stuff expired, but we didn't know. I mean, in the beginning, we thought that we were going to open maybe 2 weeks, maybe a week. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, most of the stuff expired. And
So suddenly you said for 2 years, you didn't have time for anything else. You were so involved in your work. And middle of March, everything just brakes were slammed and everything was shut down. So how did it feel for you to have this sudden quietness in your life?
Exactly.
Suddenly.
Yeah. I mean, the first week is very, very tough, because you can't sleep. I have, you know, because I'm almost sleep like 4 or 5 hours per day. For me to have like, you know, nothing to do, I mean, I was waking up at the same, you know, same time as usual. I couldn't sleep more. I was very anxious. To be honest, I slept only like for 1 to 2 hours because I was very anxious about what will happen. And because, you know, we were thinking that, you know, we have to pay our staff. How are we going to pay our staff if we don't have any income, especially from the hotel? Because, I mean, the hotel in comparison with the restaurant makes 5 times more money. So for us, it was really tough because all of the summer was fully booked. Most of the reservations were non-refundable. And so we had to return all of the money back. So until now, we return money, you know, to our clients. So it was really tough because suddenly you don't have any income and you have to give too much money, you know, that you owe to other people. And most of that money were, you know, that we had from the non-refundable bookings went to renovate and to make the restaurant. So it was very weird. I couldn't sleep at all. For me, because I was very active, you know, with everything, I was like inside my house, you know, walking, you know, up and down all the time. I didn't know what to do. Sometimes I was really stressed. Sometimes I was very relaxed because I was like, you know, okay, this is like a global situation, so I don't have to be worried. I mean, the governments around the world will do something, you know, for all of us. So it was really tough. You know, I was trying to find to do, you know, some stuff just to forget about the situation, but I couldn't. And it was very weird for me. I mean, I was like locked, trapped inside my house. I want to go out to do, you know, to work, to help some for, you know, to do some stuff. I couldn't do anything. So yeah, after the first week or the second week, maybe, I started to, you know, to get used to the situation. So I was sleeping for almost like 10 to 12 hours per day. I started okay. playing guitar. I started like I was working out 2 to 3 times per day. I was cooking all day long to for the new menu after the lockdown. Yeah, that was basically my life.
Okay. So you were suddenly emotionally also, there is this financial distress of having to repay all your customers who have already booked, and but you don't have the money ready because you have, you know, invested that money in renovation and starting a new restaurant, so on. Did the Greek government do any financial help for small businesses?
They did help. Almost every business the same. So they gave the money that we had to give to our staff, all of the money, for the whole period of the lockdown. So that was really good. And they gave almost like 8,000 to the owners of the businesses. Mm-hmm. They reduced the taxes that we pay. So we didn't have to pay any taxes. We didn't have to pay any bills for the energy, electricity, water, and stuff like that. They sort of made some loans from the bank with a very small rating. Mm-hmm. So most of us, you know, applied for the loans.
You're saying that all your employees were on rolls. You did not send them away.
No. We kept everyone. So
that's remarkable. Yeah. That's not many people can afford to do that.
It was tough. Yeah. It was really tough. I mean, to do that, we got the loan. If we didn't have loan, we couldn't do that. But yeah, most of other, like many other businesses, they haven't done that. They have fired everyone.
Yeah, I imagine that's very rare. I can,
Yeah, we try to have like everyone, you know, keep everyone. Because they have helped us, you know, over the years. So, you know.
You said you started playing guitars and you started planning menus for when the lockdown is eased. Suddenly you found this extra time in hand. How else did you spend it?
So, I mean, we couldn't go outside. We had to send a text to the government, and then they were replying to us, giving us like a sort of a permission so you can go out. So we had like 5 options. One was to go to the supermarket. The other one was to go out for jogging or stuff like that. The other one was to go to the hospital. And the other was to go to a family member that needs help. So that was our routine. If we want to go out, we had to choose one of the options. We were texting the government, and then they replying to us that, okay, you can go out. This is your permission. So if they stop us for a check outside the police, we were showing them the text message.
That's interesting. Was this an app, or were you just SMS texting?
It was, yeah, exactly.
A number.
SMS texting a number.
This was managed by somebody locally, or like a mayor's office, or do you know?
That was from the government. Okay. The government was managing the whole thing. It was pretty remarkable. It was like very good too that they have done that.
Yeah, yeah. That's it seems very strict also. It was near total. You cannot go out. You have to get permission even to jog, is it?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Because what happened in the beginning, when the text message happened, like almost 2 weeks after the lockdown. And they have done that because most of, the Athenians were going all the time out to, you know, for jogging. So there were too many people in some places. So for the government to control that, they have created the text message, so not too many people can go outside at the same time. So, okay. Yeah.
This was like a major curtailment in your freedom.
Yes,
how did
exactly.
you take it?
I mean, yeah, it was really weird because, you know, I don't live with my parents, you know, so to ask from the government to give him permission to go out, it was like very weird. I was asking the government, you know, can I go out? Can I go to the supermarket? Can I go for jogging? Can I go, you know, to see my parents? So it was like you had like a big brother taking care of you.
Did you see your social media consumption going up in this lockdown? Because people were, that's all we were doing.
Yeah.
Because we were all...
For me, myself, I didn't use Instagram or Facebook.
Okay.
I didn't even have an account, but before the restaurant, I've created the account of our restaurant, and I was the one that was using the page of the restaurant. So during the first 2 weeks of the lockdown, I was using quite a lot the Instagram, and you know I saw that too many people were using the Instagram almost all the time.
Yeah,
and my girlfriend that she normally uses Instagram all of the time, you know, after like the third week of the lockdown, she didn't use it at all. She was so bored.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, after a while, me and myself, I got bored using all the social media, and this kind of stuff. So I started playing guitar, cooking, working out.
Okay.
You know, I was painting. I was doing this kind of stuff around the house, cleaning all the time. I didn't even watch like television. I didn't even watch like a movie on Netflix. But in the beginning of the lockdown, I mean, I was watching TV. I was using my phone too much. I was watching a series on Netflix. And after like 2 weeks, I stopped everything. I got like bored, watching TV, using my phone. So I found, other interests here.
Give me some examples of what other interests you found. Like, you were exercising indoors.
I was exercising like almost like 3 times per day. And I started doing calisthenics, trying to do like a handstand, trying to do this kind of stuff. So with my girlfriend, we were dancing. We were cooking all day. We were painting. I mean, we were doing, normal stuff.
Okay. Wait, you were in lockdown with your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So how long have you known each other?
For a year.
For a year, okay. So have you been living together before that also?
We started living together almost two months before the lockdown.
So how did that go? Suddenly... you found locked up together for 4 months. How did that go? How did that benefit the relationship? Did you guys have any friction, or did you love it?
Yeah, I mean, before, if we didn't know that the lockdown was was going to happen, and someone was telling me that you're gonna live for 3 months just with your girlfriend and you won't see anyone, you will just stay at home and do nothing, I would be like very scared of the situation. But it was really, really cool because she was calming me down when I was stressed.
How did people take the lockdown in Athens? Now it's slowly opening up, no?
So after the lockdown, we started opening like very slowly some businesses. And then we had the restaurants. After like 20 days, they, you know, the restaurants opened with, you know, all the regulations and, you know, following the rules. So, you know, we had to wear masks. We couldn't sit inside a restaurant, so everyone was sitting outside. So we have opened like with my restaurant used to have in total 30 tables. So when we opened after the lockdown, we only had 3 tables because nothing was allowed inside. And we had a very small area outside. And with the regulations, we only could afford like 3 tables.
That's a drastic reduction.
Yes, exactly. Because, yeah, we have like staff for 30 tables. So now for 3 tables, I mean, I could do everything by myself. I didn't want, you know, anyone for...
But has the situation improved now or is it still...
So, yeah, it's a bit weird again, the situation, because we don't know what to expect. And we, I mean, I can't plan for, you know, for the winter. Because if there is like a possibility for a new lockdown, it will be, you know, a disaster for us. So we can't plan anything, and we just, you know, wait to see what will happen.
So the Greece's tourism industry is it picking up? You were mentioning the other day that people are not landing in Athens; they're just directly going to the islands. And how is the situation now? For the hospitality industry in Athens in particular?
It's really, really, really bad. Compared to the restaurant businesses, the tourism, especially in Athens, it's really bad. Because, as you said, like many people come to the airport and they go directly to the islands, so they don't stop to, you know, to see the center of Athens. So, yeah, at the moment we only have like 2 rooms in our hotel and we... Yeah, the total number of the rooms we have in our hotel is 30. So, yeah, to have like 2 rooms in the middle of summer, it's scary. It never happened before. Most of the hotels in Athens are, you know, closed at the moment. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I mean, I don't see it, you know, improving any time soon. Only if we have if we have found
the next
medicine.
Few months, you're not very sure how it's going to happen or what's going to happen.
Yes, basically time. What I have done during the lockdown, I have changed the menu completely. So the dishes we serve right now have less ingredients. Most of the ingredients we use, I mean, I try to use almost same ingredients to all of the dishes. So, you know, if one dish, you know, isn't going, we can use the ingredients of that dish to another dish. Most of our dishes are really easy to make, so I don't need many staff in the kitchen. So, yeah.
Can you give me some examples of what you're serving? What kind of dishes you're serving? Like
one of our most popular dishes, it's like a poke bowl, a Hawaiian bowl. We make like a sushi rice, and then we have the watermelon. Watermelon is like in season now, so you can find it very cheap. And you can, you know, like with a big watermelon, I can almost serve 40 dishes. So what we're doing with the watermelon is we bake it in the oven. So it loses all of the moisture. And then we marinate for at least 3 days. So it gets a taste of tuna tartare. It's like a very interesting recipe and a very nice dish. And when someone is ordering the dish, everything is ready because we have the rice ready. The watermelon is ready in the marinade. So you just have to plate the, you know, the dish.
Did you say you put watermelon in the oven?
Yeah.
Okay. What happens when you...
It becomes like much smaller. And it has like the texture of meat.
Really?
Uncooked meat, yeah. So then when you marinate it, I mean, we leave it on the marinade for at least 3 days. So it gets the texture of fish. So it loses the crunch that, you know, watermelon has. It gets the taste of the sea because in the marinade we use seaweed, ginger, lime, you know, stuff that reminds you of seafood.
Where did you learn this technique? Roasting the watermelon in the oven.
Yeah, I was in the in Los Angeles like 5 years ago.
I see. Okay. Very interesting. Very
Yeah, it's really
interesting.
nice. So yeah, we
Cool.
have another dish that it's like a salmon made from carrots. So
Whoa.
yeah,
Okay.
and this is like one of like most popular dishes as well. So we bake the carrot inside the salt. So we cover the
Okay.
carrot with salt, and we bake it in the oven almost like salmon locks. It's like the same technique. So then we take the
Wow.
carrots out of the oven, we break the salt, and
Yeah.
we cut it very thinly, and we put in the marinade. So then we serve it like with bread, sourdough bread, a truffle cream, and the
Okay.
carrot, which like it's like it tastes like a salmon, and it looks like salmon.
Wow. See, if it was in normal days, a journalist, a travel writer would have visited your restaurant and wrote about
Yeah.
how these amazing things are being done at a restaurant in Athens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we can only dream about it. But how,
Yeah.
so you are mostly now your clients are all locals. How are they taking to this experimental cuisine?
They really like it. I mean, almost the 99% of our clients are non-vegans. And for me, that it's a huge success because I want to
Yeah.
introduce the vegan cuisine to, you know, to non-vegans mostly.
Okay. So you think that's a blessing in disguise that this lockdown happened, and then your restaurant is now catering to the local public, through which locals are discovering your food. Otherwise, would do you think tourists
Yes, exactly.
would be frequenting this one? Do you think that's a blessing in
I
disguise,
think yes, it's,
Nick?
it is good because when Greeks come to a restaurant and see more Greeks in the restaurant, they say, okay, this is a nice spot, we're gonna stay there. If they come and see like mainly tourists, they say, okay, this is a tourist spot. So yeah.
Yeah, true, true. But you're saying there is still uncertainty. You don't know how this is going to pan out in the coming months, and you cannot make plans also. How's your mindset now? What
I mean,
are you doing?
for the restaurant, I'm pretty positive that it will
Pretty
pick up.
positive. Okay. Because you've built a solid local client
Yes,
base.
exactly.
Okay.
So when we open again from September, we're gonna do a lot of advertisement. We're gonna improve some stuff because I'm sure that it will go well.
There's a lot of uncertainty, but there's also positive
Yeah.
things happening to your
Yeah,
restaurant.
exactly.
So I will reconnect with you in a couple of months. But thank you so much for spending the time on that positive note. We will end this
Yeah,
conversation,
it was my pleasure.
Alkes. Thank you so much. That was Alkes. He will return in the second season to tell us how his business is coping. Next week, a Cape Town-based playwright and consultant, Mike Van Graan, reflects on how COVID hit the art sector in South Africa. Stay tuned. Follow us on your favorite podcast provider and look for us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or our website, recordofchange.com. This podcast is implemented with and by members of Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together former and current fellows, grantees, and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and its partners.